Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn that context is the key to making connections, how to set agreeable expectations, dynamic communication, and the echo back methods. And when you're done learning, you're done leading.
Our guest today is Brian Hendricks, a loud millennial, happy to be part of this dynamic generation, taking over the family business and impacting the blue-collar world by creating leaders who communicate. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to the show, Brad Herter. How you doing, my friend?
Things are fantastic, Mr. Doyle. I'm sure you are happy and living the dream after watching Michigan crush the hopes of the Roll Tide families that are out there. All 30 seconds that you were able to watch of the
game. Talked about in the pre-show. Yes, absolutely.
You are excited to be proud of what did you say? A Walmart fan?
Wolverine? I'm not a Walmart Wolverine. Perfect. Yeah, I'm not a Walmart Wolverine. We're a graduate of U of M. Not a Walmart Wolverine.
We're sorry. It's okay. It's fine. It'll be okay.
All right. Anyways, so let's talk about the show today. Brad, who do we have on the show today?
So today we have a gentleman that I was able to meet through some mutual connections and networking, and we were talking, and here's his bio. We're going to go. It's a very impressive bio. Brian Hendricks, CEO, performance coach, best-selling author of The Communicator's Playbook, and professional speaker. He supports his clients to develop into better leaders and communicators, which is one of the things we talk about on the show, which is why he's here. Yeah, he works with clients building organizations and teams focused, client focused, organization focused. Does this by training those leaders and teams on how to be more effective communicators, develop teams to reach their full potential, all the lovely, you know, all the professional things that he puts in there. And at the end of the day, he's also a big basketball guy. He's married with three kids, a bachelor in communications and a master's in leadership and a master's in degree in counseling as well. So, Brian, thank you for being here. I cut your bio short because it's all that, you know, all that corporate stuff that people are important.
All the corporate.
We're not corporate.
It's the stuff that goes on the back of the book that you write to make it look like, hey, I do all these things, but you don't need to hear all of it. You can figure it out.
Right. We want the front of the book stuff. We want the, hey, what's going to make us buy Brian Hendricks part of the book.
Exactly. That's what we want. Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks for having me, you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah. So before I forget, and Brad reminds me that I forget, which generation do you identify or fit in with?
I am a loud millennial. I love being a millennial. I think we are awesome in true millennial form.
You and Steve will get along well.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
He's loud. Yeah, he's loud too.
Yeah, I'm loud too. Perfect. Yes.
It's perfect. No, I, born in 1987, I am that millennial. Like it's just me. I own it and I love it. And
we're just living in your world, Brian. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about your journey on the leadership side.
Yeah. I think we could spend a whole podcast just talking about how I got him at now, but I'll give you the short condensed version of it all. Went to college at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Thought I was going to be a broadcaster. So my undergrad degree, as Brad mentioned, was communications. I'm from the Chicago area. So Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks, Sky.
I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah, living in Wisconsin, it's not the best as a Chicago sports fan at all. But except for this week when, you know, and I know the Bears are playing the Packers in week 17.
I really hope the Bears blow out the Packers.
It would be awesome. It would be so great to send Green Bay not to the playoffs.
Right? 2 years in a row. Perfect.
Yes, it would be beautiful. So went to school at Marquette. Thought I was going to be a broadcaster. While I was up there, wound up getting a job with the women's basketball team as a manager. So got to be a practice player, got to travel around the country, and really pick up from a really great head coach, Terry Mitchell, who has been one of my mentors and leaders in life.
Fantastic coach.
She's unbelievable. She's actually getting into inducted into the Marquette Athletic Hall of Fame mm-hmm. this year. So just awesome person. And after graduation, she asked me to stay on as a graduate assistant coach. So I stayed on and I wound up getting a master's degree in leadership studies while I was a graduate assistant coach there. Then I coached at a D3 school, Mount Mary University, which is here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and realized college coaching wasn't the right fit for me at that time because there's a lot of travel. I mean, you're gone November through March, and then in April, May, and July, you're out recruiting. At that point in my life, I knew where I wanted to be. I wanted to have a family, wanted to have kids, and it's just, I didn't want to be gone that much. So I actually went back to school, got a second master's degree in counseling, and was a school counselor and varsity high school basketball coach for 5 years. And all throughout this time, I had this nice little part-time job of being a leadership facilitator for a company that was started by my dad back in 1997.
I was hoping you were going to bring the started by a family member into the mix of that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Talking about, you know, people that have had an impact on your life. My mom found a journal when they moved out of my childhood home a couple years ago. And in it said, you know, what do you want to be when you get older? And eighth grade Brian said, I want to be the starting shortstop for the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, I'm not there. But underneath it said, hey, if that doesn't work out, I want to take over dad's company. And I always joke that, you know, I went to school for broadcasting. Well, that's communications. Then I went for leadership, which to me at the time was coaching. And then I went to counseling. I was a school counselor for 8 years. If I had to sum up what I do with people now and my clients, it's all about communication, leadership, and then one-on-one coaching, counseling, and how do you coach and counsel your team? So it's this like kind of got here without ever actually thinking I was going to get here. One of those things. Yeah.
That's surprise. Awesome. How did I get here?
Correct. Yeah. And you look back on your life, you're like, oh, I know exactly how I got here. This makes total sense. But you got to take that bird's eye view because in the moment you don't see it.
Right. So as part of the, you know, we're a multi-generational show here, and as part of your journey with students through their influential years of parents don't know anything, but our coaches and our teachers and some of our other folks know much better than our parents. How have you seen the receptiveness of those younger individuals to critiquing and or support to move them forward? What do people need to do to connect with that younger audience today? What have you seen,
Jim? Yeah, it's to me, it goes, it's with an younger audience. It's with any type of leadership at all. It's all about being versatile and realizing, hey, it's not up to my team adjust to my style. I have to adjust to their style. And coaching, I think, is a great small microcosm of what we see in, you know, the manufacturing world, the corporate world, and any job function, really, when it comes to leaders and teams. You know, and it's that stereotype story, which I actually had. I had one of my assistant coaches was what you would consider old school, got after the girls, would yell. Praise was very minimal. And when it was praise, you weren't sure if you were actually getting praise.
Oh, yeah. Praise rebound. You could have jumped higher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, fantastic, phenomenal coach, like knew the game and had been coached for years, and just he was not connecting with the girls. And we had a conversation. Hey, either you have to adjust. You can't yell as much. You have to adjust how you're communicating. You have to adjust how you're critiquing. Otherwise, you can't be here anymore. And he said, look, I don't want to change who I am. This is who I am. And okay, thanks for your time. We appreciate the couple of years. Let me know if you need a reference somewhere else. Good luck. And wound up having to be replaced. And one of the things is what I hear a lot is, oh, this next generation is soft. You can't yell at them like you used to. You can't do this like you used to. Okay, well, if that's the case, then stop doing that. What I see a lot of times with the leaders I work with, or coaches or supervisors, is, well, oh, I can't be as hard as on them. I can't do this. I'm like, well, yes, you can if you adjust how you do it. So can you stand there and say, hey, you have to do this because I said so? No, it's not going to work anymore. You have to say, hey, you have to do this. Here's the reasons why you have to do this. Here's why it's going to be what's best for our client. Here's why it's going to be what's best for you. Hey, if we all band together and we put in 3 hours of overtime, guess what? You're going to get paid extra. You know, in the long run, it's going to help you out. And connecting to what's important to them instead of, hey, you have 3 hours of overtime, boom, and move on. People will stay because they want the job, but they're not going to be happy. You're probably going to have a high turnover rate. you're not going to have employee satisfaction because you're not giving people what they actually need. And that's what's so interesting when it's, whether it's leadership or communication, is it's, to me, it's our job to know what each individual member of our team needs and then get that same message out, but change that message based on that individual person. It's why everyone says, you know, natural born leaders. I don't believe in that, because leadership is hard. You got to keep working at it. You got to keep trying. You got to keep adjusting. A lot of times I wait, so I have to adjust to everyone. I'm like, if you want to be a good leader, you absolutely have to adjust to everyone, and you cannot expect them to adjust to you. That is not going to happen.
Right. Is it fair to say not expect, when you say not expect them to adjust to you, is it fair to set the expectation of there should be some adaptation on the employee side to understand your, as the leader, your preferences? Like, hey, some leaders like to get in, you know, we do a lot of blue collar work. Some leaders like to get in at 5:30 in the morning, get to their office, do all that work and get done for the day so they can be on the floor. But if Joe comes in at 5:45 every morning with his cup of coffee to shoot the shit, is that on the leader to adjust, or is that on Joe to make the adjustment in your mind?
In my mind, it's on the leader to adjust to them. Because if Joe's my employee and he wants to come in and, you know, talk a little bit before he gets started, I have to be open to, hey, Joe, all right, so how was your night? What's going on with you? Now, I think here's where the employee also has to adjust as well, where it's like, hey, Joe, you and I, we can't sit and we can't have a 20-minute conversation at 5:45 in the morning. I have a lot to get done. You need to get going at work. So you come at 5:45, I'll give you 5 minutes. And we'll go 5:45 to 5:50. It's me and you. We're not talking about work. We're talking about how the Bears beat the Packers. We're talking about all this great fun stuff. We're talking about your kid's hockey game, the play that your daughter's in. And then 5:50 hits. Hey, Joe, let's connect back over break. Because right now, let's get back into it.
Okay.
So to me, it's that point where the leader, it has to be the one to give the employee what they need. But at the same time, they have to let the employee know, look, I can't give you all of this because it's work. We have a job to do. We have to get things done. But I can give you 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever I can. And then boom, let's get back to work.
Right. So it's really more about setting expectations that we both agree on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I say, and what you see from, you know, whether you do, you know, DISC styles or social styles or any of these things, you're going to see some people want, they're going to work hard for you after they have that brief conversation. Right. So for a leader, we need to know who needs what and then say, well, if Steve needs 5 minutes from me and then he's going to perform great for 7.5 hours, I can give Steve 5 minutes to make sure he's there.
You need to know Steve better than that. You need to really get to learn Steve better.
Yeah.
So, okay, Steve, we'll give you 5 minutes now, then we'll get to work. Then I'll give you 10 minutes later on, and then we'll get back to work.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow, that's a lot of time of silence.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is you're setting that expectation of, hey, I know what you need, so I'm going to give it to you. Where if you have someone who does, literally they come in, hey, boss, I'm going to go to work. Cool. I'm not going to ask you what, because you don't want that. You don't need that from me. What you need from me is, hey, what am I doing today? Well, here's the five things you got to get done. If you need me, I'll go help you with it. Let me know. I'll be around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's setting that expectations. And, you know, Brad, to your point, I think what helps leaders is, you know, if I know how I communicate, if I know what makes me comfortable, I can show my team that, tell my team that, and say, look, I'm going to do everything I can to adjust to you. But if you see me, I'm what's known as an expressive person. If you couldn't tell already.
Really?
Talk with my hands. Yeah, I know. Shocking. Huh. I come in with high energy. You know, if I'm dealing with someone who is not as expressive as me, I'll remember to tone it down. But my team knows, hey, if I come in and I'm a little over the top, it's not because I'm crazy or I'm angry or I'm stressed. It's like, I wasn't adjusting to you at that moment. Right. So it's okay. But, hey, Brian, can you just tone down a little bit? Ah, yeah. Sorry, Brad, totally forgot. My fault. Let's get back on track. But it's allowing them to kind of do those or have those conversations with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's creating that open honesty as well to also accept the fact that you can't get called out on it and not take it as a, well, now you're the asshole for calling out the ball. No, that's the environment you want to create where you can have each team member call each other out and have that trust across the board that, hey, we're doing this to live to whatever the purpose is of the organization, not because we want to have a bitch fest over whether or not Brian's too loud today. He chooses food too loud. He chooses food too loud. Exactly. He's just pissing me off. Well,
yeah.
Time out. Well, and
right? that goes back to something my dad has taught me forever. One of his favorite quotes that he always says is, "The behavior you exhibit as a leader becomes the acceptable behavior of your team."
Repeat
Not
that.
Call you
repeat
out.
That. Repeat that yeah. again for everybody so yes. they can hear right. that.
It's a
slow it down saying. Just a tad, Mr. Energy. Just slow yes. it down just a tad.
Hey, I'm taking that critique and I'm gonna listen to it here. Okay, I'm being versatile. But it's my favorite quote. My dad has said this for years. He ingrained it into me. But it's, "The behavior you exhibit as a leader becomes the acceptable behavior of your team."
That's 1,000% accurate.
It is. Think about it. If I'm the leader and I show up late to work every single day, how can I hold you accountable if you show up late to work every single day?
Right.
If I'm saying, "Hey, you know, Steve, you know, well, you gotta well, adjust hold your on, communication."
Brian. Hold on, Brian. Let's have that. So I'm the owner. I'm the leader. I'm mm-hmm. showing up to work late every day. The perception might be, but we don't know what took place from 7 to 9:30 ahead of time, right? So there needs to be some other dynamics to support that. Whereas the individual contributor showing up 15 minutes late for shift work is a very different story than the leader showing up at 9:30.
Without context, though, I think it's the same thing. Leader okay, showing up late. Fair. If there's context, "Hey, everybody, just so you know, I'm coming in late today. We're connected with this, whatever." You got to give some context behind it. Cause otherwise, I mean, I've worked with clients in the past where, you know, their owner comes in at 10 o'clock every single day. Now, what they don't know is the owner's there till 10 o'clock at night every. So he should be able, his workday starts at 10. Absolutely. But what do those individual contributors see? Oh, Mr. C-suite up top, Mr. Owner gets in at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But he expects me to get here at 5 a.m. every single day. And if I'm here at 5:05, I get written up. And he can show up at 10:30. Now, without having that context, that's the key piece. And it goes, we have to be open and honest with our team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why should they care? I'm the owner. They just come and do the job. Why should I tell them? Come on.
Because if you want to connect with this generation, Brad, you better tell them. Otherwise, they're taking off and they're going to go find another place that will tell them.
Fair.
Yeah. That's what I've seen a lot of, I would say, within the last 5 years, too, is kind of that mindset of, this is your job. Do it. Mm-hmm. Like, why does it matter? This is your job. Do it. And again, I think that works with an older type of generation. That works with what I would call a driving style of behavior, right? Or right. driving yep. style of community. Yep. It doesn't, you're right. It's my job. I'm doing it. But there's 50% of the population where if you tell me that, my first gut reaction to you is you're a jerk. You don't care about me. You don't care about the work. All you care about is bottom line and profit. And why would I want to be... Why do I want to be working for someone like that? When, mm-hmm. let's face it, that's not how most owners are. It's just that's how they see it. Get to work. You're here to do a job. Get to work. Where people, 50% of the population needs to know you care about them. Mm-hmm. They need to know that their opinion matters. Whether you agree with it or not, they just want to be right. heard half the time. And you don't have to agree. You don't have to go with their idea. But the fact that you listen, the fact that you have open and honest communication, wow, you're going to get such a more committed team where all of a sudden these ideas of employee engagement and turnover, which has been huge, especially in, you know, manufacturing, warehousing, any type of work, really, turnover is huge nowadays.
Right.
Well, some piece of turnover we can't control. You know, when you're, right. hey, you're going to get paid $5,000 more to go. Okay, I can't do that. I can't argue with that. You know, that's going to happen. But where it's like, you know, a lot of times the next thing is people are leaving for leadership. And it's because, well, this is who I am. You're here for a job. Just do your job. Well, I need more than that. I need to know that by doing this job, I'm helping somebody.
Right.
And maybe by doing this job as a leader, you're like, well, you're helping your family. Like now your kids can go play Little League. Now you can go take that vacation. But they need to have those dots connected for them sometimes.
So I want to circle back for a second to something yeah. that you mentioned. It was the having to be heard. So mm-hmm. in a lot of manufacturing mm-hmm. environments or even some trades groups and things like that, right, you got maybe 5 or 10 people that are part of the company yep. and we want to give everybody their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I use air quotes for voice because we want to all be heard. Mm-hmm. And Johnny always has a voice, but the owner doesn't ever do anything Johnny talks about because he's way out in left field half the time, so to speak, right? Compared to everybody else in the organization and things like that. How do we get Johnny to become more, to not get pissed off, to not become disengaged? Because he's a really good employee, a really good worker, just doesn't see the maybe strategic side of things or some of those other opportunities. What types of tools or tricks or techniques do you have to keep that person engaged without having them go away? Because we don't want them to go away because they're really good at what they do.
Yeah. So it's I'll give you two things that I work with. And you know, our main clientele for the last 20 years has been warehousing, manufacturing, distribution. So when you say that, I'm like, oh, Brad, like you are speaking to every single one of my clients of the last 20 years, I feel like.
Weird.
Yeah, weird how that works out. But so two things. One is I always link it back to how does that person communicate? And it's whether it's, I talk about DISC or social styles or whatever, some form of trying to figure out what their communication style is. And it goes back to Simon Sinek has his popular book, Find the Person's Why.
Yep.
Yep. And it's, for me, the person's why goes to what their style is. So if you have someone who's a driver, their why is, it's the bottom line. It's what I'm supposed to do. It's a task. Let me get the job done. That's why I do what I do. For an expressive, they like that fun, creative idea. For someone who's a more of an amiable person, they're focused on why is this what's best for the team? So how can we connect it to the team? For the analytical, it's why is this the best thing to do? Well, it's because it's the right thing to do. The research, the data, the facts tell me it's the right thing to do. So part one is trying to figure out what our team is and what do they actually need? What is their why? What is their piece that they need that I can frame the same message or just frame this task is, hey, here's why this is important to you. The second piece is a lot of times we don't know that, what that person's style is. We don't know, you know, we hope to learn it, but unless we've gone through some sort of training, then it's hard for just to pick up on it. But we call it our dynamic communication process. It's my cheat sheet for communication. And we say anytime you're talking to a person, a group, sending an email, you want to answer four main questions. The first question you want to answer is what? So what is the task you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
The second piece is how. You're giving the details on how you reach that task. Then you go the when. And the when we really focus on either, it's two parts. It's either the actual timing of it. So, hey, this week, next week, you're doing all these things. And what you do there is you break up those details. Because for someone who likes the big idea, who's creative, if you just throw, you're doing this and here's how you're doing it. I mean, think about it. For some of our SOPs could be 50 steps long.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That could really overwhelm people. So, hey, what you're going to do
now?
Not
reading that email, just so you know, 50 steps.
I'm not either. Correct.
Exactly. Sorry.
Right. So then I'm going to give you, here's what you're doing in the short term. Here's what you're doing in the long term. And then lastly is that who? It's, hey, who does this affect? We do it this way. It's going to be the best for the team. We do it this way. It's best for our client. We do it this way. It's best for the company. And what's amazing about this, you ever hear, you bring up email. Do you ever hear of the acronym TLDR?
Yes. I have, but I don't remember it. It's been a while.
Too long didn't read. Too long didn't read. Yes. If you can start putting things in what, how, when, who, it's bullet pointed, it's quick, and then you're connecting with everybody's different communication style. So you're talking about what's important to them. Yep. So for those one style, they're going to connect on the what, and that's great. You're going to get the people who want the when, the what, the how, the who. You're really starting to connect with everybody at that time. The second tool, which is another communication tool, we call it echo back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that idea of, hey, I'm training you to do something, or I'm teaching you to do something, or I'm really telling you why this change is happening. So I lay it out on you and then simply, hey, Brad, I want you to echo back to me your understanding of what we talked about, because I want to make sure I communicated it right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I say that and I get leaders all the time say, oh, I do that. I'm like, great. How do you say it? Well, I lay it out and they say, Brad, repeat back to me what I just said. And I fringe. Like, no. No, this is not about repeating back. What this is about, it's echo back to me your understanding.
Help me understand
the
what you heard.
Key to this.
Right. Help me understand what you just heard so I know that you heard. Right. Tell me in your words what you believe I said.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because at the end of the day, it's that second part of echo back I harp on is I want to make sure I communicated it to you. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations. All right, we good? Any questions? And you get, no, we're good. And they go out and you're like, what are you doing? We just talked about this.
Right.
Or you have that conversation with someone and you're like, wow, that went really well. And then 45 minutes later, you get a call from HR. Brian, what did you say to George? And you're like, I thought it went great.
But so spot that, on with that.
Right.
So yeah. Spot
learn
on.
That the hard that's, way.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But that's why because I may think I'm communicating something out perfectly. And what you're hearing is something totally different. So before we leave, I want you to echo back to me, understanding, because I want to make sure I communicate right. Mm-hmm. Now the pressure's off you, because if you didn't understand it, that means I didn't communicate it right. So I have to re-communicate to you. It all comes back to us as the leaders.
Right. So I'm really glad you actually broke down that echo back component of it. Just, I mean, it brings back so many memories of corporate life.
And then, frame that wall. What does that mean? Frame that wall. Tell me what that means.
What advice would you have for, let's call, you know, boomers like Brad, even though he's not, it's fun. It's fun for me. What advice would you give to those seasoned business owners that in their mind, they believe they're having the right communication style, but yet they completely miss the mark consistently
every day, all day.
That's such a great question. So I think in all honesty, it's, and I've seen both type of, like, I've had this conversation with business owners before, and I've seen people where I give the advice is, well, how open and honest are you allowing feedback upwards? Like, are you connected with your managers, your soups, your leads, and getting honest feedback, not the, oh, you're doing everything great.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. I don't know any boss in America or in the world for that matter that does everything great. There's always areas to improve. And what I say, if you're done learning, you're done leading, because you need to keep growing and keep developing. So one, what is the relationship with your team, you know, especially your direct reports, where they can tell you, hey, I'm struggling with this. I struggle when you do this. The other piece of it is doing some sort of 360 degree survey, if it's available, to see what, and what's great about those is they are anonymous. But you get actual feedback. And then what
they
I tell people,
they can be anonymous. They're not always.
They can be. Yes. Not depending on which program you go with. Yes. I prefer the anonymous ones because you get actual feedback. And what I've seen is, and this is where it kind of branches. So I've, you know, people go through surveys and they get it and they go, well, that's not right. Well, that's wrong. Well, that's not actually true. And then that's the end of it. They don't do anything with it and they don't change. What the good leaders do is they get it and they say, wow, this is the good stuff they love, obviously. And the stuff like, well, I don't think I do this. I'm not sure I do this. And that's where they go back to their team. They go back to people that do the surveys and they say, hey, look, I don't know who said this. I don't know what was said, but said, hey, it says I'm not a good listener. Like, have you ever seen me do that? And can you show me an example of where I can learn? Now, all of a sudden, now the leader is bringing out their faults. They're bringing out, it's not me having to tell the leader what they struggle with. Now the leader's saying, hey, I've been told I need to be a better listener. I've been told I make too quick decisions. So what do you see about that? And it's amazing because you'll get some people say, no, I, because maybe for some people, you make the right decisions, you're great, but you're going to get that feedback where it's like, well, you know, sometimes you only talk to me about work. You just jump right in and I feel like you don't actually care about what's going on.
Because I don't. Because I don't.
And then that's where we have the problem.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
We're in it.
We get it now. I remember I did a survey on myself probably 2 years ago. And
you 360 yourself. Perfect.
Yeah, 360. I was perfect just for my ranking. My self-score was through the roof. But one of the things it said I needed to work on was listening to others' ideas. And to me, like, that hit me hard. I was like, whoa, like, that's wrong. Like, I give credit where credit's due. I love hearing new people ideas. So I got my training team and talked to them. And it was amazing because one of our trainers looks at me. She goes, well, you do a good job of listening at first. I go, okay. She goes, and then you kind of take it over. Like, you throw your ideas in and then you jump on this and then you jump on this and then you jump on this. And now all of a sudden it's kind of the same idea, but a different idea. And like, you almost get too excited about it. And I'm like, for me, when I get excited about ideas and I start throwing things on top, that's me celebrating you. That's me telling you this is awesome.
That's just you being a dick. Let's just be honest.
And that's how she took it. She goes, no, you kind of take it. I was like, wow. That's not what I wanted you to feel at all.
You're stealing my thunder. But, you're taking my ideas. You're self-promoting yourself. You're not listening to anything I say. You're just
and then there's me, and I'm thinking the exact opposite. I'm like, I'm giving you all this credit. This is such a great idea. We can even do this, and then it's going to be this. And so it's one of those where, like, it comes back to perception, where we may be perceiving we're doing everything right, but everyone else is not seeing it that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Been there, done that too many times.
Mm-hmm. We all have that. It's for
sometimes
sure,
right? On the show, Steve. But anyhow, that's
yeah. Eating a lot of humble pie, the whole pie at one time.
No slices to leadership.
Today. Slices today.
So Brian, people want more of what you were talking about and opportunities, and they resonated with you or liked what you had to say. How do people find you? Where do they find you? Where do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So first, they can get a copy of my book, my shameless plug right here, The Communicator's Playbook.
Awesome.
Number one bestseller on Amazon in human resources, manufacturing, and warehousing. So it was kind of cool to actually get, like, to see that on there. But that you can get on Amazon. Otherwise, email is honestly the best way. And my email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Hendricks, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S, at dynamicdevelopments.net. Instagram would be another great one.
You are
it's just I am millennial. That's I go completely. My Instagram, you can get send me a DM and I will get back to you very quickly on Instagram. It's just develop with Brian.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this conversation can go on for hours more. We could probably do another 12 episode.
Ooh, can I go website? Can I get my website really quick?
Do it. Yes. Throw it down.
dynamicdevelopments.net. Nice and simple.
And awesome. Thank you so much for sharing and dropping so many golden nuggets on the communication front and leadership front today. I'm confident many of our listeners will find some value in those nuggets and be able to support their teams in a different way when they apply those practices. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. Like you said, I could talk about this stuff for hours. So just keep going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS. Brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.